Hare Krishna. Reading from my glorious master, New Vrindavan, 1969. Speaking from below, being heard from above. I gave a morning Bhagavatam class from the first canto. I sat on the simple pillow asana and glorified Sukadev Goswami, declaring that Sukadev's giving up Brahman realization for Bhagavan realization clearly proves the superiority of Bhagavan realization. As I lectured, Prabhupada listened from his room above. When I finished speaking, Devananda challenged, "Why does Sukadev's acceptance of Bhagavan necessarily mean Bhagavan realization is superior? Perhaps it is simply his preference." I responded dutifully, "Sukadev was not alone in his rejection. The four Kumaras also rejected Brahman for Bhagavan." Devananda wasn't satisfied. Other devotees joined in and argued. Some of them even became angry. How could someone, an impersonal Brahman, have a personal preference? The scriptures say that we can't stay in Brahman, but we must fall from that position. We accept what Prabhupada says, and Prabhupada says Bhagavan is best. After pounding Devananda into submission, we all filed up the winding stairs to Prabhupada's room. I reached the top first. Prabhupada looked at me and smiled. "So, they have put the question to you." I nodded my head, realizing that Prabhupada had been listening to my lecture. "Prabhupada," one devotee ventured, "is it that impersonalists must fall down, or is it that only most of them fall down?" Prabhupada replied, "All of them fall down." "Why?" Prabhupada was silent for several seconds. His silence accentuated the dim light that mixed with the dawn sun and illuminated his golden face. He said, "Because..." And he seemed to be thinking deeply how to explain this esoteric point to his children. "Because they get lonely." My comment. An expert teacher knows his material so thoroughly that he can explain the most complicated subject simply and clearly. Faith in Shastra. One afternoon, while Prabhupada sat under the persimmon tree, Trivikram approached him. Trivikram asked Prabhupada about the contradiction between the shortened Kali Yuga life predicted in Srimad Bhagavatam and modern science's claim that lifespans are increasing. Prabhupada denied the scientist's claim. When Trivikram responded that the scientific records prove it, Prabhupada's answer was simple and to the point. "We accept the authority of Srimad Bhagavatam." My comment. Logic and direct experience, although useful in proving Shastra conclusions, are in and of themselves imperfect methods of uncovering absolute conclusions and cannot lead us to the absolute truth. When logic and experience conflicted with Shastra, Prabhupada always accepted the Shastric conclusion. The best choice was also digestible. That same afternoon, Prabhupada's servant brought him a tray of freshly cut fruit, mangoes, which were Prabhupada's favorite, oranges, apples, and grapes. Prabhupada ate a few pieces of the fruit, and his servant then carried the tray away. As the servant walked back to the farmhouse, he stopped and offered me some of Prabhupada's remnants. Prabhupada watched. I looked at the golden mango slices, the sweet grapes, the succulent orange sections, and chose the orange peel that had touched Prabhupada's mouth. Prabhupada saw me reach onto the plate and take the orange peel. He broke into a huge smile. Laughing as I placed it in my mouth, he said, "It is digestible." My comment. dust from a pure devotee's feet, water that has washed his feet, and remnants of his food are the most holy items. Prabhupada appreciated that I chose the remnant that had touched his lips of the apparently more delectable items on the tray. It is digestible. No adverse effect accrued from proper choices. No adverse effect accrued from proper choices in Krishna consciousness. I later found out while living in Hong Kong that orange peels are not only digestible, but also medicinal. A choice, practicality or spiritual sentiment. Brahmananda sat with Prabhupada under the persimmon tree and discussed Prabhupada's old apartment at 26 Second Avenue. The devotees had already relocated from the original 26 Second Avenue storefront to 61 Second Avenue. Brahmananda asked Prabhupada whether we should keep the old apartment because the rent was $150 per month and the New York temple was poor. Prabhupada considered the question only from the practical viewpoint. The temple was poor, and therefore it was impractical to keep the apartment. He told Brahmananda to drop the lease. Argument as offense. Ray Rama came from New York to discuss Back to Godhead magazine with Prabhupada. Prabhupada complained that Krishna had not looked beautiful on the two-ton brown cover of the previous issue. He also objected to the hippie culture advertisements Ray Rama carried in the magazine. Ray Rama sat with Prabhupada in his upstairs room. Prabhupada reprimanded him. Amazingly, Ray Rama argued back. At the bottom of the steep, spiraling stairs stood Garga Muni, listening both attentively and with apparent relish. I walked over to the stairs and also began to listen. Prabhupada said, if you wish to argue with your spiritual master, then what can I do to help you? Garga Muni turned to me and gestured that I should leave. This is only for big devotees. My comment. Ado Guru Padasraya, as Srila Rupa Goswami states in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. This is the beginning of spiritual life, Ado Guru Parasraya. One must first accept shelter at the lotus feet of a spiritual master. We are certainly allowed to present our viewpoint before our guru, but we must ultimately surrender to his desire. The guru's desire is Krishna's desire, and a disciple must always defer to his spiritual master with respect and faith. Ray Rama's inappropriate attitude was actually a symptom of the lust and doubts that were wreaking havoc in his spiritual life. Soon after this conversation with Prabhupada, Ray Rama left the association of devotees and returned to his previous sinful lifestyle. Garga Muni's comment, which forbidding a beginner like me from witnessing a senior devotee arguing with Prabhupada, was more or less justified. Yet the instruction gathered from the episode is certainly instructive for both beginners and, quote, big devotees. Of course, the big devotee is the one fully surrendered to his guru, beyond attraction to sense gratification, and well on his way to realizing his eternal relationship with Krishna. Okay, we'll end here. Hare Krishna. Thank you.